I'm Carrie Fountain, and this is Just to Say, where we talk to poets about the poems they create and the poems that created them.
And so courage is, to me, this thing or that thing, right? It's all handed over to us in this small story. Good morning, it's Carrie Fountain. I'm so happy to be here with you this morning in my closet. This morning, it sounds to me like my children on the other side of one wall of my closet is our kitchen. And on that wall is where our microwave oven is mounted over our oven. And so when you close the microwave, you can hear it very loudly in here. And my children sound to me like they are inside the microwave oven right now. They sound so loud, and they keep opening the door and closing the door. I can only imagine what they're doing out there. My daughter is making her own breakfast. I think she was thinking something along the lines of a PB&J made out of two waffles. So that's what I will have waiting for me when I'm done here this morning. It is Monday. It is the start of a new week. And for those of us heading into our third week as professional homeschool teachers, I am so happy to share another poetry lesson for you and your kids of all ages. This is also a poetry exercise that I would do with adults as well. So I think it's really fun. I'm going to read a poem to begin with, and then we're going to take that poem as sort of our inspiration and guide for doing an assignment. So if you're not into doing a poetry assignment, you might at least want to stick around for the poem because it's a doozy. It's a real good poem. Before I read the poem, I'm going to just say the title of the poem. And before I even go into reading the poem, I want you to think about for yourself what the word that is the title of this poem conjures up for you in your imagination. Is there something that comes to mind when I say the word? And I mean kind of a thing that might come to mind, or an action, or a situation, or a story that you might remember of your own. When I say the word courage, think about what the word courage brings to mind. It's a big word, right? You might think of soldiers. I kind of imagine a soldier, or a doctor, a nurse, someone who is standing fearful at the edge of doing something very difficult, and they're doing it anyway. So this poem is called Courage. And now that we're all thinking about what courage means to us, I want you to kind of think about how the poem itself kind of turns the word courage into something very, very specific. It tells a story. There's a lot of dialogue in this poem, like two people talking to each other, which can really bring forth a lot of specificity in writing. So, without further ado, this poem is called Courage. It's a poem by the poet Marie Howe. It comes from her book, The Kingdom of Ordinary Time. And this is Courage. I'm helping my little girl slide down the pole next to the slide and bridge construction when a little boy walks up and says, "Why are you helping that young person do something that's too dangerous for her?" "Why do you say it's too dangerous?" I say. And he says, "She's too young." And I say, "How old are you?" And he says, 4 and a half. And I say, "Well, she's 3 and a half. When he comes back a little later, he says, "I'll show you how it's done," and climbs up the ladder and slides down the pole. And then he says, "She's too young." What happens is that when you get older, you get braver. Then he pauses and looks at me. "Are you brave?" "Brave?" I say, looking at him. "Are you afraid of parasite too?" he says. And I say, What's Parasite 2? And he walks away slowly, shaking his head. That's Courage by Marie Howe. So for those of us who are going on to do our lesson based on this poem, I really love the way this poem takes the word courage and kind of illustrates what the word can do in the rest of the poem. And one of the things I would point out about the poem itself is that it's all about telling this very small story. There's no point at which the poet starts saying, and so courage is to me this thing or that thing, right? It's all handed over to us in this small story. And I would also say this is a story that is not a story that is about the speaker's, the most important moment in the speaker's life. It isn't about the time that the speaker used their courage to go into a burning building and save someone, or stand in front of, or, you know, run in front of a car and push someone out of the way and save their life. This is a very small story. And once I personally am done reading the story of the poem or the poem itself, it does this wonderful thing where I start thinking about what courage can mean, right? And our ideas of what courage is, and how they change too. You know, the what children think of as courage or bravery, and what maybe parents do or adults do, and how that is always changing, right? So this morning, I want to offer you a little exercise where you can think about the differences between abstractions. Of course, abstractions are ideas, words that stand for ideas or feelings. The word courage is an abstraction. It is a feeling or an idea that doesn't necessarily have, you know, something that is real in the real world that it correlates to, right? I am looking right now at a pink shoe. That is a thing. That is a very specific thing. I'm touching it. It's a little rough. It's made of some woven material. It's got a rubber sole. It's a little flexible. Doesn't stink, which is good. That would be embarrassing if it did. So that's a really specific thing, that shoe. The word courage is an idea. And one of the ways that we can kind of think about the differences between abstractions and specifics or images in poetry and writing in general is that we have a hard time in our mind's eye, in our imagination, when we're faced with an abstraction. It can be hard to conjure something up in our mind that you can sort of think about, like, oh, that thing, that pink shoe that is flexible and didn't smell. With specifics, you can see them in your mind's eye, right? That's essentially what happens when we read a book. When we read a novel, we are looking at the words and creating the story in our imagination, right? In our mind's eye. I love that phrase, the idea that you have an eye, an ear, a mouth to taste, all in your mind that you can use to help you feel like you're living inside of a story, that you are telling the story and living it in your mind's eye, in your imagination. So I want you to do a little exercise with me where we're going to help our minds, our brains, and your imagination, which is like an endless resource, right? It's really quite a miracle. I want you to try to help your brain think about abstractions, right? Words that are like thoughts, ideas, feelings, right? So we've already talked about like the word courage, right? Here are some others. Let me think of some others. How about power, freedom, joy? Those are all abstractions. You might know what they mean, and your brain, if you have a really powerful imagination, might already start translating them into things, images. You might think of, if I say the word joy, you might think of someone leaping through a field of flowers or something like that. But that's your imagination translating the abstraction, joy, into specifics or an image. You see someone running through that field. So I want you to use the power of your imagination to, as a little bit of an exercise, translate abstractions into things, images. And, oh, I have to say before you do this, there are absolutely no right or wrong answers in this exercise. And very often, when we translate an abstraction into an image, we ourselves are really surprised by what comes up, right? You know, the word, the perfect example, this one that we just read, I'm almost 100% sure that Marie Howe didn't know that she was headed into this little story when she sat down to write it and give it the title of the word courage. It's really surprising, right? I mean, what I came up with earlier, you know, the idea of a soldier, right? Something that seems really, really hard to me to do, to sort of put yourself on the line. That seems like it would require a lot of courage. But this little story that Marie Howe uses to illustrate the word courage is so powerful to me. And it's very surprising, and I'm almost 100% sure that it was surprising to her as well. So this is all to say that when your brain translates these abstract words, abstractions, into things, it might not make a lot of sense to you, like what you come up with, right? Power could be, you might think of building a Lego tower, and it might be mysterious as to why that is the thing or the memory or the image that comes to mind. So I just want to give you permission to let whatever comes to your mind come to your mind. And I want you just to jot it down. It doesn't have to be in sentences. And I also, you don't have to show this to anyone. This is just practice. So let yourself just whatever comes to mind come to mind. So the first word, why don't we go with the word kindness? And I'm doing this with you guys, so. And how about now the word fun? Fun. And one last one, just for this exercise. How about the word like sadness or the word grief? What comes to mind when you think of the word sadness? And again, you're really trying to translate, you're helping your brain translate the abstraction, the idea of sadness, into a thing. Okay. I'm so interested to hear what came to your mind. I was very surprised by what came to mind. The word kindness brought to mind this image of like a grocery cart in a parking lot, someone moving it to the corral, doing a very small act of kindness. The word fun made me think of I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it was my husband's or mine, but we have a really old Monopoly board. And the box is like totally useless, like the edges are all broken. So it's just like you can lay it on top of the bottom, the top of the box. You can lay it on top of the bottom, but it's not really like a box. But it's just been used so much. There's like tape on the edges that have broken again and again. I don't know why, but that's what came to mind when I thought of the word fun. Probably because we played Monopoly the other day and it was really fun. Everyone was really competitive and it was very fun. And then, for the word sadness or grief, I thought of an empty swing on a playground, just an empty playground, but especially a swing. I don't know if it's because a swing, more than other playground equipment, actually looks like someone should be sitting in it, right? You can see what is missing from it if you look at an empty swing. So that's what came to my mind. Can I explain any of those really? No. So I'm interested to know what came to your mind. And I was thinking that, I mean, you could do more of these if you wanted to translate some more abstractions into images. There are plenty of abstractions in our language, you know. This book that I'm reading, the poem Courage from Marie Howe, I noticed this morning that there are actually a number of poems in here that have abstractions as titles, and then the poem themselves is this sort of like illustration of the word, or, you know, a take on the word. So there's another poem called Government. I think there's a poem called Prayer, Marriage, Limbo. So this is something that this poet, The World, that's the one of the title. That's the first poem, or the second poem in the book. So I would love it if you were interested in writing a poem like Marie Howe's Courage that uses an abstraction as a title, and you can sit and make a list of all kinds of abstractions, and then the poem itself, like Marie Howe's poem, does not contain any abstractions, no abstract words. It's purely specifics and images. Again, she uses a lot of dialogue, which is something that can be really specific in a poem. You know, the little boy's dialogue really helped me to see this little kid who is so preoccupied with this mom helping her child go down the pole. You know, she doesn't ever go into, you know, sentences that are abstract, like, you know, the powerful feeling of courage exudes joy and freedom. I'm already lost in the middle of that series of abstractions, because your brain starts going like, nothing's coming to mind. I can't see it. I can't taste it. I can't think of what it might smell like. But, you know, if we just take it down to things, right? I'm looking around again. I'm not going to talk about these poor pink shoes of mine, but, you know, I'm seeing also there's a black and white modeled journal, the writing journals with, and it's my daughter, so it has the name Olive written in the little square, and she's written it, you know, very carefully, the way that you do when you take on the responsibility of writing your name on a journal, because it's, you know, it's going to be there, it's permanent. For as long as you use that journal, you'll have to see it, so you want to make it really neat. Right, so there's the difference between abstraction and image. And in poetry, in creative writing in general, we are always trying to move toward the specific and the imagistic and the surprising too, right? Again, Marie Howe's take on the word courage is really surprising. So these can be tiny, you know, two sentences, something like that. They don't even need to look like a poem. You could write them in a little paragraph. But I just want to see what your brain does when asked to translate an abstraction in the title into something without abstractions in the poem. It's all images telling a story, if you want. Okay, that's your assignment. If you would share them with me, I would love that. I got so many odes last week. I have to sit down and go through them so I can post some of them onto my social media and share them with you, because some of them were wonderful. I mean, all of them were wonderful. And if you have any more odes from last week and that you want to share, send them. Keep sending me odes. And now this week you can send me your poems that translate an abstraction into images. I'm excited to read them. I hope that this is really fun for you. Remember, writing should be fun. It doesn't have to be perfect. It won't be perfect. There's no possible way that it will be perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect poem. And it's really just an exercise in letting your mind's eye take over for a minute and translate for you. So I'm excited to see what comes out of it. Share them with me. You can find me at carrie.fountain. That's my Instagram handle. And you can always send me stuff there. And also, if you have some poems that do this, you know, that you remember, there are so many wonderful poems that do this, that you've enjoyed reading or that were really powerful for you, send those along to me too. I'd love to have some more examples in my bag of these kinds of poems that use abstractions as titles and then very specific stuff in the poem themselves. All right. Have a wonderful week. Send me your poems and, from our closets to your ears with love. This is Just to Say.